I'd like to say good evening to everybody. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this evening. God is certainly good to all of us, and I'm thankful for Him for allowing us to be in the service just one more time. He is certainly a great God, and we thank God for Him for just sparing our lives just one more time. We ask that you continue to pray for our pastor, his first night of revival tonight. And we ask that you just continue to pray for his family. We thank God for Deacon McLean for opening us up in devotion tonight. We thank God for all of you who are here, to Lady Rogers, that's to my wife. We thank God for you. And I thank God for the opportunity to teach his word. Pastor could have got whoever he wanted to get, and I'm always grateful. And I thank God for Jesus. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you tonight, dear God, and we want to give you all the praise, the glory, all the honor, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this opportunity. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you use me, dear Heavenly Father, to say what you want me to say. I pray, dear God, that you clear my mind, dear Heavenly Father, so I can think right and let everything that's said and done be to your glory. And we just want to thank you and just want to praise you. In the powerful and mighty name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. We're going to look at Psalms 25. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version tonight. We're going to be looking at Psalms 25. And we read our opening scripture, and we're going to turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 12. And it reads, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day." Romans chapter 12, we're going to look at verses, beginning at verse 17 through 21. That's going to be Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 17 through 21. And it reads, "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Amen. Tonight we want to talk about peace that surpasses all understanding. As peace that surpasses all understanding. Since men became enemies to God, they have been very ready to be enemies to one another. And those that embrace Christianity must expect to meet with enemies in the world who smile seldom agrees with Christ. The exhortations in verses 17 through 21 relate primarily to believers' relationship with unbelievers, speaking as they do of those who do evil toward believers. Relationships with unbelievers and are the enemies of believers. The Old Testament principle of justice was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But under the New Testament, we are exhorted to turn the other cheek, according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 39. Peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Paul's exhortations in this section relate to a believer's reactions to the actions and emotions of others, whether Christians or not. I know that it's hard for us sometimes to, and it's a hard pill for us to swallow, how we have to react to other people. And when we're talking about peace that surpasses all understanding, the world don't understand how we really react. When you're talking about turning the other cheek, when people have wronged you, they have dogged you out, they have mistreated you, they have lied on you, they have done all kind of things to you, you have to understand that it's a hard pill sometimes for us to swallow, and it's even more difficult pill for those who don't know who Christ is to understand how we live our life. Paul had put some principles in here to the church at Romans, and he wanted us to understand that we have certain exhortations, certain principles as Christians that we have to live by. These principles are meant for Christian people. We're talking about churchgoers. We're talking about folks that say that they have given their life to Christ. And we as Christian people have to live by those. And when we look at ourselves, we have to examine our own selves. We can look at ourselves and see if we're living up to the standard that God has set forth for us. When you look at verse 17, it says, "Repay no one evil for evil." When you're talking about that right there, Paul was saying that we don't need to repay anyone evil for evil. And the reason why we don't need to repay anyone evil for evil, because we're living under the grace and the mercy that God has given us. We don't even deserve to be living right now. God, he died for us. He gave his life so that we can have a right to a tree of life. And it's because of his grace and his mercy that we are where we are today. So we really don't have we really can't point the finger at anyone. We really can't repay anyone evil for evil, because all that Jesus had died for the things that we have done. So when you look back on your own life and you look back on some of the things that you have done, the things that you have defrauded people, the way you have mistreated people, we can look at how God has blessed us and brought us out. So we don't want to repay evil for evil to anybody. Repaying evil for evil is a common practice in the world. And the reason why, because they don't know who Jesus is. So we have to set the tone. We have to set the standard of living, because we have to let them understand that we got the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. When you really look at it right here, when somebody wronged you, they don't understand when you respond by telling them to bless you. They don't understand when you respond to them by feeding them, by still trying to reach out to them and tell them who Jesus is. They don't understand that kind of peace. But when God gives you peace, you don't have to worry about what other folks say, what they do, and how they mistreat you. But you got to understand that we got peace that surpasses all understanding. Paul the Apostle commanded, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil." And on the positive side of this verse, Christians are to do what is right in the sight of all men. And this is the expectation of what Jesus has for us. We should be doing what's right in the sight of all men. Sometimes we can mistreat people and we can do things. And what happens is the Holy Spirit will convict you if you're a child of God. When you give your life to him and you're following his teachings, when you're a follower of Jesus Christ, when you defraud somebody, you mistreat them, the Holy Spirit will convict you when you mistreat somebody else. If you don't have no convictions for the things that you have done, you need to check your salvation. Nobody said that you are saved besides yourself. When you live your life a certain way and you mistreat other people and you're not convicted by the Holy Spirit, there's something wrong with the relationship that you have with Christ. When you look in verse 17, it says, have regard for good things in the sight of all men. When you look at that right there, this word good right here is talking about a morally good. Noble and or praiseworthy. We're talking about somebody we're talking about your character. We're talking about the moral character that you have for yourself. And these are the things that people are looking for in Christians because it's written in the Word of God. A Christian should not concentrate on the evil in others, but instead should focus on what is good in that person. You know, you ever met somebody who always have negative stuff to say about individuals? They never have anything positive. They never have anything good. You got to watch them kind of people. When you meet people who, I don't care what's going on, I don't care how bad the person is, they can always find something good with them. That's the way we as Christians should be. We need to concentrate on the good things that a person has. And so that we can actually encourage them. We can actually try to lift them up. We can try to teach them how they can be a better person. The Lord wants us to look for the good that's in others and not the negative things. To have regard in this means to take thought of or be careful to do. In other words, we need to be careful to actually look for the morally good in people when we meet them. So Christ is an expectation of this for us because of who we are as Christians. When you look at verse 18, it says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceable with all men. Now, when you look at this right here, Paul, he made a commandment. And when Paul made this commandment, he left it open-ended because of the fact that he know that you cannot reach out to everybody. Paul said, if possible. He said, if possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceable with all men. We as Christian people ought not be mess makers. We ought not be known in our community by the gossipers, the mess makers, always got an issue with everybody. We always complain about everything that goes on, no matter what's going on. We complain in the church, we complain at work, we complain at home, we complain to our family. And we got a problem when we start doing that. It says as much as depend on us, we need to live peaceable with everybody. When folks when they're not saved, some folks don't know no better. Until they get their life to Christ, sometimes people can defraud you, they can mistreat you, and they don't know any better. And so what we have to do is we have to reach out to them with a different spirit because as much it depends on us. So in other words, people have a different kind of expectation for us. Same thing it is in the church. We as Christian people ought not be mess makers keeping up mess in the church with each other. What kind of church we gonna have when you got church members throwing stones at each other all the time? Every time you turn around, we always got something negative to say. This sister doing this. This brother doing this. The pastor doing this. We got to be positive. We got to lift folks up. We got to lift them up to Jesus. And we got to let them understand that we have to do everything we can to be peaceable with everybody. The believer's aim should be to live peaceable, but sometimes peace is not within our control. This is why Paul limits this command. That's why he said that as much as it depends on you to live peaceable with other folks. Now, we all have been a witness that there are some people that you can reach out to. You can try love. You can try nurture. You can give. You can be there for them. But some folks you just can't reach. Some people you just got to just shake the dust off your feet and just go on. It's folks in the church like that. It's folks in your family like that. It's folks at work like that. It's folks in your community like that. I refuse to hang around folks that's negative all the time. I refuse to hang around folks that always got a bad word to say all the time. When you try to reach out to them and you try to do things peaceable and they're always going to keep up ruckus all the time, sometimes you just need to distance yourself from that person. That's why Paul had limited that command. And the reason why he limited the command, because some people you just cannot reach out to. I don't care what you say to them or what you do, they always got a problem with everything and everybody. We have to live in harmony with each other. Harmony with others may not always be achievable, but believers should not be responsible for the lack of peace. So we might not always have harmony with each other, well, with other people, but we don't need to be the ones that's always breaking the peace all the time. We got to learn to live different. When we really look at how things are going in this world, we know that the Bible is fulfilling itself. We know that everything is continuing to getting worse. But we as Christian people should be trying to reach out so that we can be better. We need to be set the example. We need to be the example. Christians shouldn't be needlessly provocative or contentious with other people. We need to try everything we can in order to be peaceable and to be humble and to reach out to people. The righteousness of God is not worked out by belligerence and wrath. In other words, we have to learn how to talk to each other. The righteousness of God is not worked out when we're trying to be belligerent to people. Sometimes people can cross your path, but some people, they're entitled to have a bad day. Sometimes people might have a bad day. Things might be going on in their family. Things might be going on in their life. And sometimes people can cross your path because they really don't know how to handle it. Us responding in belligerence and wrath does not work out the righteousness of God. Because when people see us and they don't see Jesus in us, they remember that. It's just like remembering the first impressions all the time. When people have a first impression of you, if we're going to be belligerent and we're going to respond in wrath, people are going to remember that forever. So we have to understand that we have to learn how to respond to people because we don't know what they're actually going through. When you belong to the devil and you're the devil's children, the devil will take you through anything. So we got to understand that if we're going to have peace that surpasses all understanding, then we have to do everything in our ability as possible to live peaceable with all men. We should love peace, make peace, and be at peace with each other. When we have offended others, or when someone have offended us, we should work tirelessly for a peaceful resolution of the matter. In other words, when you're with your family, or you're with your neighbors, co-workers, loved ones, we need to work tirelessly in order to come up with a peaceful resolution whenever there's a conflict. Sometimes people look at us as Christian people when we keep up contentions all the time, and they talk about us. That it's a lot of times they won't talk about you to your face, but they talk about you behind your back. And the thing about it is, you know, because I have people talking to me all the time about different things. People, they'll come to you to get your opinion. And when they come to you to get your opinion, the first thing that they want to bring up, well, you know, that sister over there, you know, she said that she loved the Lord and she go to church all the time. But she do this and she do this and she do this. Or he do that. And they do that because what they want to do is they want to get your opinion. And so you have to be mindful of that, and you got to always come up with a peaceful resolution. And the reason why is because they coming to you because what they're throwing is they're throwing stones. They're throwing stones at Jesus. See, they're trying to say that his children are not acting like Christ. And that's what they're looking for from us. They're looking for us to act, to live like him, to act like him, and be like Christ, because we say that we're Christians. And so when you live a life with contention, when you are belligerent, you got wrath all the time, people are going to look at you in a different manner, in a different way, and they're going to say, well, you go to church all the time. You say you love the Lord. You don't miss Bible study. You don't miss worship service. You don't miss revival. But you out here talking to us crazy, like we some crazy people. So you have to be mindful of that. And people will come to you with that stuff because they want you to realize that this person is not becoming, at the becoming of a Christian. And so they'll talk about you behind your back. So that's why we have to do everything within ourselves, if possible, so that we can live peaceable with all men. And this is saved as well as unsaved. You don't have to go out there and do the same thing the unsaved folks do. We have to learn how to talk to them in a way that's respectful, loving, and kind, to reach out to them, let them know that the Christ that we serve. But that's why Paul was saying that we're not going to always reach everybody. Some people you just have to cut off because they're going to say things to you to irritate your spirit. But when you have the peace of the Lord, there's nothing they can do to rattle your cage. Amen. The devil will use every opportunity he can to rattle the cage that you have in order to get you out of your character to act like them. And so you have to be mindful of that. In verse 19, it says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. Now, sometimes that's a real hard pill to swallow. When you look at the word avenge, that's talking about punish a wrong with the idea of seeing justice done. We all have that a spirit that comes up in us sometimes. When people mistreat you, when they talk about you, and they call you everything but a child of God, sometimes it rises up in you when you want to avenge yourself. Sometimes we look like God just don't move fast enough. I mean, we may as well just go ahead and tell the truth. Sometimes we just want to, like, God, I just want to get him. But we can't avenge ourselves. We got to let God do it. And the reason why we have to let him do it is because he know what to do. Sometimes people come to you with stuff and it come from an alternative source. We don't know it come from an alternative source. Somebody over here then told them something and then told somebody else something and then made it back to you. They didn't start it. Somebody else started. But guess who know who started? Jesus know who started. So when he actually avenged for us, he know exactly who to get. That's why sometimes when people come to you with stuff, you got to be careful how you respond to them, because you don't know the source of where it comes from. See, the devil is slick. It's the same way it is in church. Boy, there's some stuff going on in church. People will say some crazy stuff, and we don't even know where the source is. And when you find out the source, you be like, oh my God, I didn't believe it came from over there. So you gotta realize that we cannot punish folks, because it's not our job to punish them. Our job is to live like Christ and to have peace that surpasses all understanding. The thing that rattles the devil cage more than anything is when people try to get you out your character and they cannot. Let me tell you something. Folks go home, can't sleep at night. They trying to think of some things. They trying to tell you some stuff. They'll talk about you crazy. They'll make stuff up because they want to get you out your character. But when you got the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that bothers them more than anything. Let them talk. Let them say what they got to say. Let them run you down. Give it over to God, because when you got that peace that surpasses all understanding, there ain't nothing that they can do with that. Sometimes people will gang up on you. They'll do everything they can to get you out of your character, but just maintain what God called you to do. Paul was referring to the negative in verse 17a, but then Paul exhorted his readers not to take revenge after they are misused. He said instead they should leave room for God's wrath, because God has promised to avenge his people. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30, it says, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord." That's how the God that we serve operate. He will have vengeance on them. The thing about it is, God does not move in our time. Yes, it takes a while sometimes for vengeance. Sometimes it doesn't. But we got to leave that up to him. That's not our thing to do. That's what he does. And when you give it over to the Lord, he will know who to get, when to get them, and what to get them for. That's all you got to do. So don't get wrapped up in trying to avenge yourself with other folks. So I'm not telling you to be a doormat. I'm not telling you to let folks mistreat you and to walk all over you. I'm just saying that you don't have to try to punish anybody or go forth to avenge yourself with them. Let God handle that. And when God handles that, God will actually do what he needs to do. One example of that is when David's refusal to kill King Saul. When David refused to kill King Saul, he had the opportunity. David was on the run. King Saul was jealous of David. He knew that he was going to be the next king. And what he wanted to do was, he was trying to kill King David, and he was running and hiding. David had his army of men, and they was in the woods. They was running everywhere trying to run away from King Saul. And David had the opportunity twice to kill King Saul. But David had enough about him to say that he wasn't going to touch God's anointing. God had anointed Saul king. And as long as he still was on the throne, he still was God's anointing. So what David did was, he allowed King Saul to continue to pursue him. And one day, he actually surrounded David. But God did exactly what he did. He said he was going to do. He protected him. He protected his army. He allowed the Philistines to attack their camp. And what he did was, they had to leave and flee and go do that. So David was able to go somewhere else and actually hide from King Saul. But when King Saul went to a place and he was in a cave, he was sound asleep. David could have cut his head off. He could have killed him. In fact, he cut a part of his robe off. He did that so that he could show him that he could have taken him out, but he didn't do it. The men tried to encourage him to do it, and sometimes that's the same way we have. We have an audience of folks that encourage us to do stuff that we know that's not right to do in the eyesight of God. And what King Saul, what David did was, he allowed King Saul to live. But what he did was, God avenged himself, avenged David on King Saul. So the revenge that King Saul ended up getting was done by the Lord. And so he allowed him to do that. So let me tell you something. Don't allow people that surround, don't surround yourself with people who will encourage you to do wrong things. You have to be mindful that God knows everything. He's everywhere and he sees everything. When you do something, when you throw a rock and you try to hide your hand, God saw it. It doesn't matter who you threw it at, when you threw it, but God saw it. We might not ever know you was the one that did it. But don't do something that's not right and think that God doesn't see it. And don't build yourself up with an audience to get you out there to do something that's crazy that you're going to pay for yourself. Because what's going to happen is when you want to avenge yourself with other folks, you're going to have to pay for that yourself. Don't think that God is blind, stupid, or dumb, because he's not. And he's everywhere and he can see everything at the same time. Cell phones will get you messed up. Little clicks will get you messed up. Talking in corners will get you messed up. I'm telling you, God don't play. And that's somebody I don't want to play with. And that's him. Don't let people psych you up to do that. David's men, he had 600 men that was in the army, was trying to get him to go ahead and take out King Saul. But he says, no, that's God's anointing. And he allowed God to do it. Had David done that, we don't ever know what would have happened to David. But we have to have a mind that stayed on Jesus all the time. So don't let people get you out there to avenge yourself, because that's what the devil will do. The devil will have your mind messed up and saying, oh, you need to get that person. Oh, I ain't going to let them get away with that. Oh, they going to talk to me like that? So we have to learn how to involve ourselves with other people, but we got to learn to let the Lord enforce his vengeance on folk when they cross our path. God know when people mistreat us, and he know when people do things to us, so vengeance belong to him, not to us. Vengeance is God's prerogative. What I mean by that is whatever God wants to do, whenever he want to do it, vengeance is his prerogative. If we can just get that in our spirit and think about that, that vengeance belong to him. It don't belong to us. It's his prerogative. So we have to realize that no matter what's going on, if this person outlive you, if nothing ever happened to this person, the vengeance is God's. It belong to him. There's nothing that we can do about it. There's nothing that we can say. There's no way that we can handle it. Vengeance belongs to him. We should not interfere with what is God's. He will repay at the proper time and the proper manner. And that's what he will do. Sometimes God will let people go on for a long time. And he'll do it a lot of time because folks ain't saved. He do it because he's a long-suffering God. The same way he put up with us. You got to think about it. He put up with us. I know that they're irritating us. They're irritating our spirit, trying to get us out of our character. But he put up with us, and he's putting up with them. And so sometimes God will allow them to go on for a long time. And he'll let them do that based off the fact that he wants them to get saved. Some folk might never get saved, but he's still a long-suffering God. And sometimes we go through stuff for a long time because he's a long-suffering God. So in verse 19 it says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And that's the main focus, that he will repay, says the Lord. In verse 20 it says, in verse 20 and 21, it's talking about do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It says here, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now, when you look at this right here, considering God's promise to execute vengeance, a Christian should therefore feed his enemy and quench his thirst. In short, respond to his evil with Christian love. Like I said, I know it's hard. It's not easy to do. It's easier said sometimes than done. Especially depends on who the individual is. But when we gave our life to Christ and we're going to follow him, we're going to follow his teaching, we got to follow his word. And we got to follow the word of God. So our response should be respond to evil with Christian love. In other words, you want to feed them, you want to give them drink. And I know sometimes your spirit tell you you don't want to do it, but that's what we have to do as individuals, Christian individuals. So doing this right here does something. It says right here, it says, for in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now, When you're talking about heaping coals of fire, it's not talking about doing anything ungodly, not doing anything evil to the individual. What you're doing is right here is you're bringing their attention to the fact that you have a different character and that you have changed. Heaping burning coals on his head, along with the first part of Romans chapter 12, verse 20, is a quotation from Proverbs 25, verse 21 through 22. And what it really refers to is kill people with kindness. That is that old adage of killing people with kindness. Sometimes people are floored. They don't even know how to respond. They don't even know what to say when you kill them with kindness. They'll come at you all kind of ways. They'll dog you out. They'll say things. And what you do is you come back to them and you kill them with kindness. The coals on the head refers to a ritual in Egypt in which a person showed his repentance by carrying a pan of burning coals on his head. So that's symbolic of a person who wants to repent. And the reason why he's talking about this in this verse right here is because after you respond in Christian love, the person right now, you're killing them with kindness and they don't know what to do. The only thing that they can do is either go their way, repent, or say that I'm sorry, because you're not responding the way they want you to respond. And we have to be careful with that as Christian people, because when we respond in a negative way, people literally take that and they run with that. When you respond in a negative way, that gives them an avenue to respond to you more in a negative way. So what you start is you start contention, you start an argument, you start going back and forth with crazy stuff, and then people will be standing around wondering who is who. Are you a Christian or this person a Christian? Oh, y'all both ungodly. Y'all both heathens. All y'all crazy. I mean, let me tell you something. People will get you out there, they'll have you cussing and everything. I mean, you may as well go on and tell the truth. I'm saying they'll have you saying some stuff you thought you would never say. And you'll be like, Lord, have mercy. You have to go home and repent yourself. So we have to respond with Christian love. And so when we respond with Christian love, what happens is it actually gives them a different persona of you as a person. Let me tell you something. They might not tell you, but they're going to go back and tell other folks. Man, I talked about her like a dog. And the only thing she told me, she loved me. That messed folks up. I mean, think about it. That messed them up literally. And when you respond like that, and sometimes you have to respond like that to folks in the church. I mean, everybody in the church ain't saved. So we want to just go and establish that. So people will cross your path in the church, and sometimes you got to respond in love to them so that you don't get out your character. Because let me tell you something, the devil will creep right in there and have you saying some stuff that you thought you would never say. So when you do this right here, you heap coals of fire on their head. And so what it does is this refers to helping rather than cursing an enemy may cause him to be ashamed of his hostility by surprising him with unconventional kindness. Because they're not expecting that. And so we as Christian people want to walk in a different manner. We want to both to see Jesus in us, because we want to be a light. If we're going to be a light that's set on the hill, then we have to continue to do that even in our conversation and how we do things. And so when we, rather than cursing at your enemy or mistreating somebody who mistreated you, when you respond in unconventional kindness, it actually brings shame to them and they don't understand why they was hostile towards you to start with. It works. Trust me, it works. I mean, when I first got saved, I didn't try none of this stuff, but I'm telling you. But as you have a better relationship with Christ, as your relationship grow, and as you grow in Christ, you learn this stuff, and you be like, man, I could be doing this all the time. But when you first get saved, it just ain't no telling what you gonna say. So, you know, God gives us a pass because of the fact that he know that we're human. And this stuff, like I told you, is a hard pill to swallow. But we as Christian people have to learn how to do this, irregardless of the circumstances and how we feel. Paul summarized, do not be overcome by evil, allowing ourselves to give in to the temptation of retaliation, but overcome evil with good. In other words, we got to love our enemies. The Word of God says this all the time. I know we don't want to hear it. Sometimes we don't want to do it. But we have to love our enemies. That's what we have to do. And we have to have the agape love. We have to love them just like the Lord loved us. There are some times the Lord probably don't love us as much because of what we have done, the things that we do. But we have to learn to display Jesus in us, and we have to learn to love our enemies. And that's why he says that we don't need to give in to the temptation to retaliate, because it's so easy to do it. And once you get out there, it's hard to come back and apologize, because you got to realize that these people remember everything you done said. Because the devil gonna keep on bringing it to their memories. And you think about being at work and you getting into it with your coworker saying some crazy stuff. The first thing they gonna say is, I thought he said he was a minister. I thought he said that he loved the Lord. They always bring out negative stuff in Christians. They don't care about what they said. They care about what you said. And the reason why is because you're supposed to be the light. And so when you're around there witnessing to them, telling them about Jesus, and you start messing around and get out your character, they remember all that stuff. So we got to let our light shine everywhere that we go. And we got cannot fall prey to temptation, to retaliation, because it's so easy for us to do that. And the devil will do it. You know, you can come to work, or you can come home, or you can just talk to somebody in the community. You could be going through some things. You could have had a hard day at work. Somebody could have been really working your nerves. And now folks in the community want to work your nerves. They want to come at you with some crazy stuff, and now it starts rising up in you. What you need to do is you just need to walk away before you had a temptation to retaliate against somebody because of what you're going through. See, we can understand what other folks going through, but they can't understand what we're going through. And so that's why we have to really look at it for ourselves, and we have to understand that we cannot fall prey to temptation to retaliate. We got to overcome evil with good. In other words, we have to love our enemies. It says evil can be overpowered with good. This is a weapon that we should use more frequently. Now, a lot of times we don't think so, but evil can be overpowered by good. People get shamefaced when you are good to them, and when you start show loving kindness to them, they are shamefaced. That's why in verse 21 it says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." The devil don't want us to overcome evil with good. The devil want us to get out there and really just show ourselves. And we got to overcome evil with good. So when you're talking about peace that surpasses all understanding, this is where people get confused at. When you overcome evil with good, when you got the peace of the Lord, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when you displaying one of the fruits of the Spirit, when you do that, this surpasses all understanding. People that's not saved don't understand it. It's hard to understand. And the reason why they don't understand it is because you're peaceful, you're at peace, you're not going to get out your character no matter what people bring to you or whatever they do. And when you do that, that right there, the devil cannot win when it comes down to you. So we got to understand that we are a Christian church, we're a Christian family, we have to love one another. We got to love our families. We got to love our neighbors. We got to love our coworkers. We got to love everybody. And we have to display that no matter what they bring to us. And so we got to understand that we got to have peace that surpasses all understanding. And when you live your life like that, you will understand that you have you're gaining a better relationship with Christ. And if you have a problem in that area, you can work on that. God can do everything, but he just can't fail. He can work on you. He can work on everybody who had an issue. When you give your life to Christ, we should display the traits of Christ. And if we're not displaying the traits of Christ, then you need to start focusing on yourself to find out what's going on with me, why I can't live my life the way the Word of God said that I need to live my life. We all make mistakes. None of us is perfect. We all do things, but we have to have peace. And when you have that peace that surpasses all understanding, the devil cannot get you out of your character. Amen. May God bless you. May God keep you. Before we pray, we got Mr. Brown going to come on and make an announcement.
Thank you, Ramon.